Thank you, Josiah. Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. I want to welcome our visitors, welcome those tuning in on our live stream on our Facebook page. We're glad that you've tuned in with us this morning as well. This morning's lesson is entitled Ambassadors, taking our text from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And like last week, we're going to begin there. So if you want to start turning to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, I invite you to do so. We're going to read that very shortly. I've had this idea on my mind for a while. In 2 short days, I'm going to be leaving on my first overseas trip. And it's also my first overseas preaching trip to Africa. And I've been excited about that, apprehensive about that, anxious about that. And a lot has been on my mind recently. And last week's lesson, one of the takeaways I hope that you got out of that, talking about the dead fly in the ointment, that dead fly moment, is that we need to be conscious of who we represent. At all times, wherever we are with other people, we need to make sure that we remember who we are as God's people, who it is we represent. And that's kind of been on my mind. And so this morning we're going to talk about what it means to be an ambassador. And so let's look over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Paul has been speaking about reconciliation to God, backing up to verse 18, and it's going to run through verse 21. And in talking about that reconciliation here in verse 20, he says, "Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Paul and the apostles were Christ's official ambassadors on earth, and they spoke with his authority, and they spoke with his authority through the Holy Spirit. And so there's two different ways to think about ambassadors in this sense. This is mentioned only twice in the New Testament. The other place is in Ephesians 6 and verse 20. Paul said he was an ambassador of the gospel in chains. He said he was an ambassador in chains when he was writing the book to the saints at Ephesus, or the letter to the saints at Ephesus from a Roman prison. And he says he's wearing these chains as an ambassador for Christ. In a sense, when we talk about what the word apostle means, it means one who is sent out. That is what an ambassador is. It is one who is sent out on the authority of another. So Paul and the apostles, when he says we, either Paul is speaking of the apostles as that we, or Paul is talking about those who were traveling along with him and those who were sent. So there's two different ways to look at the ambassador. One is that it was the apostles, and we understand they had a specific job on earth. They represented Christ and his authority. But it could be in a broader sense where those who are sent out representing Christ. In a way, when I leave on this trip in 2 days, I'm going to be representing Courthouse. I'm going to be your ambassador in that sense to the brethren there in Tanzania. And so we can look at ambassadors in that sense. But as I was reading and studying this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and the one in Ephesians 6:20, it came onto my mind, what is an ambassador? And so I did some digging online to find out, what is it we hear about the U.S. ambassador or the ambassador of another country? And so what is an ambassador? What is their role? What do they do? One of the first things I found is it's defined as a diplomatic official sent by one nation to another as its resident representative. Resident representative, that means they often live in the host country that they are representing their nation to. So an authorized messenger or representative or promoter of a specified activity. Whether we talk about it in an official nationwide sense, you also hear there's several different organizations out there that also have ambassadors. What that means is they represent that organization or that event, and they speak with that organization or event's authority. An ambassador of the country he or she represents often resides in the host country. So they are a resident of that foreign country, but they represent the nation that sent them there, if that makes sense. So then we understand, all right, so now I get what an ambassador is, but what do they do? What are the roles or duties of an ambassador? And here's where I found it interesting and was able to make application to us as Christians as ambassadors for Christ. Representation is number one. Representing their own government to the people of the host nation at public events in that host country, and being the most visible symbol of their own country. That's what an ambassador does. So the way they dress, speak, and act is to reflect the country that sent them there. And when they don't, it makes headlines, doesn't it? When an ambassador is caught doing something foolish or stupid, it makes nationwide headlines as well as international headlines, doesn't it? We're all probably thinking of some event that we can remember in our own lifetimes, of an ambassador that did something foolish. Because their job is representation. They are the visible representation of the country who sent them where they are. And policy is the second thing. Ambassadors relay and must follow their country's policy, it says, at all times, even if they do not agree with it on a personal level. One of the websites that I went to looking at these some gave some examples of ambassadors who were removed from office, just our country's ambassadors, removed from their office and replaced by the sitting president of that time because they did not follow the policy that was laid forth. And so they were removed. An ambassador must represent, they must relay and follow the country's policy that sent them there, and their job is to protect citizens. An ambassador's function is to oversee the safety of citizens in foreign countries, mostly the foreign country that they are residing in. And fourthly, administrative. One of the things I found was it had this quote, they are to oversee the operations at the embassy and of other diplomats and staff members. And several other places I found regarding administrative, it says, plenty of mundane duties fall to an ambassador's lot. Meaning there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of administrative stuff that falls in their lap and they must see to it and make sure it gets done. I've heard some people say that not all Christians are the ambassador that Paul is talking about. But again, it all depends on how you look at that ambassadorship. And we understand that Paul, as an apostle, was in an official authoritative position that the rest of us are not in. Paul and the rest of the apostles. However, what I'm going to try to show you is how we do represent, we relay and follow policy. We protect, in a sense, and we do administrative work as an ambassador for Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus, anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good. Peter is standing in the household of Cornelius, this first Gentile convert, as is recorded in Acts 10. And he says in verse 38, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So Peter says, you've heard of this. You know who he is. This wasn't done in a dark corner. You know of Jesus of Nazareth. You know that God anointed him with power and with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good. Now notice Matthew 5 and verse 16 of what Jesus expects his followers to do. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus went about doing good works. Jesus expects his followers to follow in his footsteps and do good works. One of the things we find as we look in the scriptures is God designed through the church. You can especially see this in Ephesians 3:10. That after Jesus left the earth, there would be little Jesuses found in every country, in every home, in every business and workplace, in every community, in every city and village. Galatians 2:20. We're going to read this a little later on, but this is where Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. God designed it that way, that we, in letting our light shine, following in Jesus' footsteps, would reflect Jesus to all those we come in contact with. In fact, saints are called Christians, designating them as followers of Christ or Christ-like. And in that sense, Christians are to represent Jesus and be ambassadors for his will. And while not with the same authority as the apostles, saints are to represent Jesus to the world and teach in His name, in His authority, and in His doctrine, His teachings, and therefore thus in His authority. Josiah was great and read Colossians 3:17 for us earlier. And in Colossians 3:17, it tells us everything we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. We do and speak in His name. And as since, we can be said to be His ambassadors to those who do not yet know Him. And so we're going to look at those four things, the four areas that ambassadors work in. The first is representation. While an ambassador for a country represents that nation and their goals, saints represent Jesus and His will. How does that apply? 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Ephesians 5:1, he says, my beloved children, imitate God. So we are to be imitators of Christ and God. Acts 10:38, Matthew 5:16, as we already read, Christ did good works and He expects His followers to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Titus 2:7 and verse 14, Paul tells Titus he was to be an example of good deeds and to be zealous. Saints are to be zealous. We are to be that example of walking in good deeds or good works. Titus 3:1, Titus 3:8 and verse 14, Paul says our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs. We are to be imitators of Christ and of God and do good. And Colossians 3:17 tells us saints, whether in word or deed, are to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Going back to Matthew 5:16, that means simply, let our light shine. Philippians 2 verse 15 also talks about letting our light shine. Hebrews 1:3 says Christ is the exact representation of God's nature. We are to be the exact representation of Christ's nature to those that we come in contact with. And so as ambassadors for Christ and the gospel, we are to represent Christ to others. What they see in us ought to reflect Jesus in our words and our actions. And so we are to represent Christ. And the second thing that we looked at that ambassadors do is policy. While ambassadors relay their representative country's policies to the host nation, saints must adhere to the teaching of Christ. It's not on us or up to us to change it, to express our opinions or feelings on the matter. It is our job to teach what Christ has said. That is what an ambassador's job is to teach what their nation that has sent them has said, not to express their own will. How does that apply? How do we see that in action? 1 Peter 4:11 says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Other versions say the oracles of God. That oration, the utterance, the teaching of God. Acts 20 verse 27, Paul declared the whole counsel of God to the Ephesians, as the New King James states it, the whole counsel of God. He's talking back in verse 17 of Acts 20. He's talking to the elders of Ephesus as they met him in Miletus. And he says, while he was with them in Ephesus, he declared to them the whole counsel of God. In Titus 2:1 and verse 7, Titus was charged by Paul in speaking sound words, being an example of purity of doctrine. What is purity of doctrine? Means Titus wasn't to insert his own feelings and his own opinions. He was simply to teach the gospel, to teach the words of Christ. And thus it is the purity of doctrine, the purity of teaching, sound teaching. Galatians 1, 6-9. Paul talking to the saints at Galatia, he says, those who teach a different doctrine, a different gospel, are accursed. And you don't have any reason to listen to them. Whether it was an apostle, any man, or even an angel from heaven, if they taught something different, Paul says they're accursed. You're not held liable to anything that they say. 2 John 9 to 11. John the Apostle wrote through the Spirit saying, those who leave the doctrine of Christ no longer have God and no longer have the Son. It's not a light thing to start teaching somebody and teach them our own opinion on the matter, our own feelings. John tells us the seriousness of it. If you do that and you go outside the teaching of Christ, you no longer have God, the Father, or God, the Son. It's dangerous. They no longer represent Him when they go outside of His authority and His teaching. Just as an ambassador who no longer abides by the policy of the nation he represents will be replaced, anyone who teaches differently than what Jesus has said will be accursed. In fact, we are to teach simply the plan of salvation as delivered by Jesus. Note these, where these all come from. The passages are all from the Gospels, quoting from Jesus. That John 5:24, we are to hear. John 3:16-18, he says, you must believe. Luke 13:3-5, you must repent. Matthew 10:32, you're to confess him. Mark 16:16, you're to be baptized in order to be saved. John 8:31, you must live in obedience. To be a true disciple of him, you must continue in his word. That is to abide in his word. As ambassadors, we're unable to alter or insert our opinions to the word of God, but to simply teach the gospel, the word of truth, because it is the gospel that can save souls. You see this in Colossians 1:5 and James 1:21, where it states it simply, the gospel saves souls. And you might be asking yourself, all right, we get the representation, we even get the policy, but what about the protection part? That an ambassador is to protect its citizens. While ambassadors look out for the safety of their citizens in the host country, saints are in a foreign country, that is this world, the physical that we live in, and we're to look for the spiritual safety of souls. How does that apply? What does that look like in our lives? Philippians 3:20 tells us our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That means we are in a foreign land. Both Peter and the Hebrew writer tell us we are walking just as Abraham once did, as aliens and strangers. John 17:15 and 1 Corinthians 5:9-11 tells us we're to live in the world, but not be a part of the world. 1 Peter 2:11-12, Peter wrote, saints are aliens and strangers, and he says, and as you are aliens and strangers walking through this world, he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. It means be above reproach. Be blameless. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11. Here in 2 Corinthians 5:10-11, he says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. He says there in verse 10, there is a judgment day. There's a day fixed that God is going to judge the wicked and the righteous. We're going to give an account to him. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for everything that we have done, whether good or bad. So he says in verse 11, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that that judgment day is there and that one day we will give an account, what do? We look out for the safety of the souls of those around us, our friends, our family, our loved ones, co-workers, neighbors, whoever they are, we want to see their souls escape the snare of the devil and go to heaven with us. 2 Timothy 2:24-26 tells us that's why we teach. It's not so we can pat ourselves on the back and say, look how right I was. Paul tells Timothy, we teach to help men escape the snare of the devil because they've been held captive by him to do his will. 1 Peter 3:3-5, he says the reason that we teach that so that we can get them out of the snare of the devil is because saints have an inheritance reserved in heaven. He says that is reserved in heaven for you, where it will never fade away. You have a great reward. And so as ambassadors, we look for the spiritual safety of the souls in our circle of life. As ambassadors, we teach the gospel in order for souls to secure their inheritance in heaven. We want to take as many people with us when we go. And lastly, administrative. While ambassadors work with their staff to accomplish the mundane tasks associated with their day-to-day jobs, saints work together with the members of the body of Christ. We work together with the church. None of us is a lone wolf. An ambassador is not a lone wolf. While he might be that representative, there is a whole host of people on that person's staff to make him or her look good. There's a whole host of people behind the scenes making sure that that embassy is running right. Well, no one of us is an island. No one of us is a lone wolf. We work together. We must work together. Romans 12, 4 through 5 tells us how this applies, what it looks like. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, there are many members, but one body. Many members with differing functions. And he gives the analogy or the metaphor of the human body, because it is something that we can look at. Physically, when we look in the mirror, we can see our bodies. We see it on paper. We see it in one another. We know what the human body looks like. So Paul uses this metaphor to let us know that the church, the body of Christ, is like a body. There's one head. That's Christ. But he says that just like eyes can't just replace the ears, hands can't replace the feet, every part comes together working together. Many members, but they make up one body. And all those members have different functions. In Romans 12, 6 to 21, he says we're to use the abilities we're given and be devoted to each other. Use the abilities that we give. If you're a hand, do what hands do. If you're the feet, do what the feet do. If you're the small pinky, do what pinkies do and do it well. He says, whatever your talent and ability is, when you come together and every part is needed, do your part. And that brings me to Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. It says, the body is to build itself up in love by what every joint supplies. Verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. Verse 16 says, when we come together by what every joint supplies, we build one another up. We build the body up together. We're not a group of lone wolves. We're a pack. We stick together. We fight together. We suffer together. We build each other up. When one part hurts, just as the human body, when even the smallest part hurts and stings, the whole body feels it. When one of us, when one member is suffering and hurting, we feel it. Romans 12 says, Romans 12, 15 says, we're to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We feel one another's exuberance. When one is excited and joyful, we rejoice with them. When one is suffering and hurting, we suffer and we hurt with them. And we do all that we can to comfort and build up. In Colossians 3, 12 to 15, this is what Brother Josiah read for us, and I want you to turn there with me this morning and read it again. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12 through 17. He says, so, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Saints are to love and forgive as Christ forgave. We are to let the word of Christ dwell richly within us so that wherever we go, whoever we come in contact with, we will represent Christ. We will teach his teaching. We'll look out for the souls that we're teaching because we want them to join us in the body of Christ. And we will do all that we can to work together to build up the body of Christ in love, as every joint supplies. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Peter 3:18 both tell us we are to study and grow in the knowledge of Christ. Study and grow in the knowledge of Christ. As ambassadors for Christ, we're to live day to day being Christ-like and doing His will. Not every day has a triumphant moment, just like the mundane day-to-day work that an ambassador does. Most days are going to run and look the same. We go day to day. We're in our jobs. You're at work. You're at school. We're running errands. But wherever we are, we need to remember who we are. We are Christians. We represent Christ. And we want others to know Him, to follow Him as well, so that they too might have that reservation in heaven for them. There is responsibility in being an ambassador for Christ. Colossians 3:16 to 17, as we just read, tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. As ambassadors, we need to remember we represent Christ to others. Wherever we go, whatever we do and say, others ought to be able to see Christ in us. Jesus said to His followers in Matthew 5:16, they will see your good works, and then they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. They will glorify your God. So the question this morning is, does the world around you see Jesus in you? And here's what Paul said about it in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Does the world around you see Jesus in you? Paul said he wanted them to see Christ living in him. Because he gave up everything for him, Paul would give up all of those things that would take him away from Christ. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We need to be able to say the same. Because as ambassadors, we live in a foreign land. We represent Jesus to the world to save all who will obey the gospel. And we eagerly wait for Christ's return, where we will be with Him forever. Philippians 3:20, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 speaks of our citizenship in heaven, speaks of the fact that we will meet Him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, comfort one another with these words. Christ isn't going to land on earth and rule. He rules now. And one day we'll come, we'll meet Him in the air, in the clouds, and He's going to take us to that home that He's gone to prepare. And we'll ever be with Him. That is our goal. That is why we represent Him on earth. That is why we want others to come with us and walk that walk. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we invite you to become one, where you can repent of your sins. You can be baptized into His name this morning, having those sins absolutely washed away, rising from the waters a new creature, living for Him. And if you are a Christian this morning, not living the way that you should, it's not too late. You can still repent while you draw breath, while you have opportunity this morning. And the prayers of the congregation can be said on your behalf that you may be forgiven. And if we can assist you in any of these things, the waters of baptism, the prayers of the congregation, come forward now. Let it be known while together we stand and sing.